The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Bob Burney Live.
Looking at today's news through a biblical worldview.
Welcome again to Bob Burney Live. I just have enormous respect and honor for Dr. Jeffress. He and I have not always agreed. We've had, and I consider us friends. We're not best buddies. We don't golf together, but we've been together on many occasions. He was gracious to write a very nice piece for my book when I published my book. I consider him a good friend. I really do. And we have had some disagreements. We have, and we continue to remain good friends. But my disagreements with him have not reduced my enormous respect for him and the balance that he has. Everywhere he goes, he shares the gospel. If he's on Fox and Friends, you can count on it, he's going to share the gospel. Now, you know, people ask, is Donald Trump a born-again believer? I don't know. But I know this. I can absolutely assure you Donald Trump has been given the gospel by Dr. Jeffress because he's fearless in that. He is just fearless in sharing the gospel with anyone and everyone. And his balance in being politically astute but understanding the real need of America is spiritual. You heard that. And that's why I'm so incredibly disappointed by something a dear friend sent me. It is an email that was sent out last evening to all of the members and friends of a large megachurch up in northern Ohio. The name of the church and the name of the pastor will not be given because my desire is not to attack anyone or a church. But this is a multi-campus megachurch up in northern Ohio that for many, many, many years has been known for their strong stance for the gospel and the authority of God's word. Well, that was then. And I have heard that they have been kind of drifting away, and they've been drifting a little bit to the left. And again, this dear friend of mine sent me this email that was sent out last evening to all of the members and friends of this church and all of their campuses. And it says, "Hello, blank family," mentions the name of the church. And this is from the senior pastor. "On May 25th, when I heard the death of Mr. George Floyd, my heart sank to learn that another black life was taken at the hands of a white police officer. I knew almost immediately that our already divided nation would erupt in anger, pain, and protest." I didn't know that. I thought it was possible. Anyway. He says, "My mind went quickly to my friends of color and wondered what they must be feeling as they watch another scenario of injustice unfold before them." Now, first, is there a problem of police brutality? Yes. But it is not nearly what the news media and other liberal leaders want you to believe. White police officers killing black individuals has declined, not increased. It has declined dramatically in the last 20 years. In the last 3 years, it's basically remained the same. It is not getting worse. It was much worse 20 years ago. Much worse. Does that mean it's okay? No, it doesn't mean it's okay. But also something that the news media is not telling you, that in 80 to 90% of the cases of a black individual being shot by a white police officer, that individual that was shot either shot at the police officer or attacked them in some way. Does it happen that a completely, absolutely innocent person is killed? Yes, we saw that in Minneapolis. And it should be condemned. It should be prosecuted. But it is not common. Now, one is too many. But it's not common. In fact, it's very uncommon. That's not what you are led to believe. And that's not what people in the black community are led to believe. Anyway, this pastor goes on. It says, "Go on." It goes without saying, we as believers abhor this act of violence. Yes. Each person, regardless of the color of their skin, is made in the image of God and therefore has inherent and complete value bestowed upon them by their creator. Racism is evil. Amen, 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 amen. Then he says, we at the blank church have been working hard to be a place of inclusion for all races. We've been working hard to be a church of prayer for all nations, tongues, and tribes. That's great. That's wonderful. The fact that we are a predominantly a white church, because that is the case, we cannot remain silent. Okay, that's fine. The world will be watching and waiting and so forth. So here's the part. On page 2 of this lengthy email, it says, what must we do? And the suggestion is 3 things. These are the 3 things the senior pastor of this mega multi-campus church is saying that his congregation must do. All right, you're ready. Number 1, we must grieve. We must mourn alongside the Floyd family and join in the lament of our friends of color. Have no problem with that at all. We should grieve. 2, second, we should pray. Diligently petition our Lord that justice might prevail in the land. Pray without ceasing for our friends who daily face the implicit bias of our world simply because of the color of their skin. Pray for the police officers of our city that they might live out Micah 6:8 to do justice, love kindness, and to walk humbly with their God. That's okay, but that's as far as it goes. What about praying for repentance? What about praying for revival? What about praying that our country would come to their knees? What about praying about the spiritual need? There's nothing about that. Pray that justice might prevail. Now, I would expect that from someone on the far liberal left. And again, we should pray that justice might prevail, but we don't stop there. And then that I read you the entire paragraph. 2 sentences. First, we must grieve. That's 1 sentence. Second, we must pray. That's 2 sentences. And then third, protest. This is by far the most lengthy suggestion from this pastor. Protest. I'm quoting. You might be surprised that your pastor is calling you to protest. I'm not suggesting joining those who deface our cities or loot from our shop owners. I'm suggesting that you join a peaceful protest for the purpose of walking shoulder to shoulder with our brothers and sisters whose voices are not being heard. Protest by contacting local, state, and federal political representatives. Protest by joining your voice with those crying for fairness. In so doing, we will fulfill scripture that calls us to seek justice and correct oppression. If you're a frequent listener, I tell you constantly that the whole social justice crowd knows about 5 verses of scripture out of the entire Bible. It's all they know. And anytime they write, anytime they quote scripture, they quote one of those 5 verses, and one of them is Isaiah 1:17. Here is the pastor of one of the larger churches in the state of Ohio, known for their evangelical stand for years, not calling for repentance or salvation or spiritual renewal, but by far the longest suggestion, we need to protest. Now, if you've been listening to me, I stand firmly for the constitutional right of people to protest. But you know what? That's not the responsibility of the church. The church is to give the gospel out, to share that Christ is the answer, that the ground is level at the cross, that Jesus died for all people, and the gospel makes all people equal because all people are equally sinners and equally in need of salvation and redemption, and there is not one word about any kind of spiritual renewal, any kind of revival, any kind of repentance for black people, for white people, or anybody. Let's grieve, let's pray, and then let's go protest. Seriously? And my heart was grieved when I read this email. And I just thank God for the pastors that I know of that are preaching a balance. Yeah, we need to grieve. Of course we do. We need to be sympathetic to anyone who's experiencing bias and prejudice. We should. We should try to understand what they're feeling and what they're experiencing. But the ultimate answer is the gospel. That's what sets us apart from a bunch of politicians. I'm just deeply saddened that a pastor that is responsible for thousands of people is missing such an incredible opportunity to remind us of the centrality of our call and the centrality of the gospel. All right, we'll be back.
Talk radio that makes a difference. Makes a difference. This is Bob Burney Live.
My goodness, folks! I'm trying to think of words. I communicate for a living, first and foremost as a preacher and then a talk show host, but sometimes I can't even think of the words, and right now that's where I'm at with our campaign to free slaves in Sudan. Now, I've been doing a daily talk show here at WRFD now for over 20 years. For over 20 years. And we do 5 or 6 fundraisers a year. Now, all of you know that. I'm on the air like 250 days a year when you holidays and weekends and all that. So I forgot the exact number, but it's over 250 days a year. And 5 or 6 times out of the entire year, I come to you, and we usually take one full day, and then after that, I just mention whatever the campaign is occasionally for the next 2 or 3 days. And that's it. In all of these 20 years, there has never been a time when a fundraising campaign should have been more impossible than right now. Look where we're at economically. Stock market crashed. People, hundreds of thousands of people are out of work. Unemployment is higher than any time since the Great Depression. If there was any time that this should have been a total absolute failure, it should be now. And yet, I came to you on Thursday of last week and laid it out. I tried to do my best, just telling you the truth. There really are slaves in Sudan. They really are there. They've been there at least since 2005, but $250 can set them free in the name of Jesus, and they'll start a brand new life. Well, that was then. Today, here's the total. Remember, our goal was $8,400. We wanted to set 34 slaves free. Because of your unbelievable generosity. And by the way, Alan in Rising Sun was the latest to call 888-253-3522. Alan and Rising Sun, God bless you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I hope you're still living. Still living. I hope you're still listening. Anyway, Alan called 888-253-3522. And we are now at $11,545. Now, that's not important. Here's what is important. 46 slaves are going to be set free. These are real people, folks. This isn't theory. These are real people who have been living in slavery, some of them for almost all of their life. And they're going to be set free for the first time because of your generosity. Our goal, 34 slaves. We are now at 46. We're getting close to 50. Wouldn't that be something? It's up to you. Between you and God. If you want to continue this, if you want to become involved, if you want to have a part in setting a slave free in the name of Jesus, here's the number, 888-253-3522. You call tonight, you call tomorrow, or you can go online at thewordcolumbus.com, thewordcolumbus.com. Man, there's so much bad news, so many things going on. Talk about good news. Think about this. Tonight, think about 46 slaves set free. If you want to help, 888-253-3522. 888-253-3522. Wow. I hope you have an absolutely wonderful evening, but please remember whose you are.
Listen. Think. Discern.